This is a Defocus Media production.
Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, welcomes you to Eye Care Shenanigans, where Drs. Jeff Fardink and Daryl Glover discuss the latest in eye care trends, news, research, and more. Dr. Glover, how are you doing this evening? It's good to be back.
Yeah, man. Feels good to be back. How's life been treating you, my friend?
I am ready for a very happy holiday. I can't believe it's time again. I feel like we just had Christmas last week, you know?
Man. Oop, everything's great. No complaints. Life is fantastic. I was just trying to stream to Instagram, man, and it was playing it in the background. So now I'm sitting here thinking, now I got to do this on a different computer. They just allowed this to happen. So technology, you got to love it, right?
It's always interesting. I've been struggling. I've got a doctor who's joined my practice, and we're trying to integrate his EHR system or his records into mine. It's been a nightmare. Love technology.
yeah. You know, so crazy. I mean, you and I, we grew up with technology, but I'll be honest with you, man, as I become more of a seasoned millennial, I'm not what I used to be with technology.
Oh my goodness. Man. No, for real. It is scary. I saw an advertisement the other day about playing Atari games on the AARP website. I was like, wait a minute. This feels weird, but I'm down for that.
That's wild, man. That's wild. But hey, man, what's new, man? I feel like we haven't caught up in a long time, man. So what's been going on with the family? How's work been? How's travel
been? Work has been great. It's been crazy. I've got a friend visiting from Colombia, and we're trying to find a way to get him some snow exposure down here in Virginia. So I might go tubing in the western part of the state later. I can't wait for that.
That should be fun. That should be a vibe. My son is looking forward to hopefully getting some snow down here in North Carolina. Don't know if it'll happen. I mean, here in North Carolina, you can get all four seasons in a day. So you can start off snowing by the end of the day in shorts and flip-flops, right?
That's right.
So we'll see where that goes. But super excited, man. Eye Care Shenanigans. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover, and my guy, Dr. Jeffrey Fardink. As y'all know, who have tuned into this show, into this segment, we like to have fun and talk about the latest and greatest news and trends that may be out there in eye care. So we're going to go ahead and get this party started because we know a lot of our colleagues are out there in the trenches. We know this is the busiest time of the year, but it's great to be abreast of some of the technology that's out there. And that's what we're going to bring you today. So what's up top, man? What's on the first article that we're going to discuss today? What's the hottest topic? What do we have?
I think we're leading it off with omega-3 fatty acids, if I'm not mistaken.
I like that. Well, let's make that happen, man. So talk to me about this. What's going on with omega-3s and diabetic retinopathy? Is there some type of connection in some kind of way?
Maybe not much. I don't know. So there was a new big study that was just came out. It's part of the ASCEND study. I love these acronyms every time. Got to bring in these acronyms. ASCEND, a study of cardiovascular events in diabetes. There we go. A study of cardiovascular events in diabetes. I can't even get it out. From the Journal of Ophthalmology. So basically, there's a 6.5-year study that's just been completed trying to link omega-3 supplementation with better outcomes in diabetic patients, and they did not find any real statistically significant benefit to giving patients omega-3 fatty acids. Over the 6.5-year period, 15% of the patients in the omega-3 group and 14% in the placebo group developed diabetic retinopathy, going from not having it to getting it. I know exactly what some of the omega-3 fatty acid people I've talked to in the past are going to say. What type of omega-3s was it, and how much were they given? Not very much, honestly. The omega-3s they were given, it was 380 milligrams of DHA and 460 of EPA. And I know many of the big brands are recommending much higher doses than that. So, I still hold out hope that maybe omega-3s do have a benefit in higher doses, which would make sense to me, but in this lower dose, it did not seem to do any effect in preventing diabetic retinopathy.
Sure. Tell me this. What do you typically tell your patients when it comes to dosage amount? How much are you telling the patients when they come in?
Well, it depends on what we're treating, of course, for dry eye or different things. There are different guidelines from the manufacturers. I think the most important thing is that you're getting a high quality of EHA or EPA and DHA. Not all are the same. The most important thing, as far as I'm concerned, is that it's the re-esterified form of the molecule, which is just a much more pure version of the omega-3 fatty acids and one that is much easier for our bodies to absorb.
Okay.
So first of all, making sure they get the right kind of DHA and EPA, and then the right amounts. as far as dosage goes, I'm seeing things at least above 1,000 milligrams of each for daily use. This is just a very small dose, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I typically say 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams. I probably should take a step back and look at the quality, right? Like you mentioned. So that's something that, you know, 2024, I'm definitely going to, you know, dive in and do some research and figure out what's the best option, right? I'm curious, what are you prescribing? Do you have a go-to for dry eyes in regards to, you know, a quality supplement?
Yeah. So my favorite company, of course, is PRN, Physician Recommended Nutraceuticals. Okay. They have a really high quality.
Yeah.
Omega-3s, Nordic Naturals has some good ones too. Just the re-esterify, that's what matters. And those are the ones that I think they do the best job of it.
I heard the Nordic Naturals, you know, the taste, just patients prefer that more than other options that are out there. So I hear that quite a bit with my colleagues.
Well, that's the thing too, is that if it's re-esterified, you get much less of that fishy burp smell. So you don't really get that with the higher quality ones too. So it's worth paying the extra for it, in my opinion.
And that was my next question. You know, how much more of a premium is that? Is it something that's going to tip the scale for patients, especially if they're doing that on a monthly cadence, or is it still in that sweet spot where they notice a difference after using it for 6 months or so, and it makes a world of difference for dry eyes?
I mean, I hesitate to really go too deep on this because the studies have been kind of inconclusive so far, but I've definitely seen some success in my patients with it. And I've taken omega-3 supplementation for a while now, and I feel better taking it. But that's definitely very anecdotal, very anecdotal. Yeah, and I'll tell you too, the re-esterified forms too, because it's better absorbed, that means you get fewer of the unpleasant side effects and the other end of the digestive side effects. So that's
a big plus in my book, my friend. So I appreciate the knowledge that you just bestowed upon us. I want to give a shout out before we go to the next topic to Carissa out there. She said, how could I not watch this topic name, Eye Care Shenanigans? The name draws everyone out. But most importantly, the value of this show is just priceless. So thanks so much for tuning in. We appreciate it.
Thanks for being here. Happy to have you.
Yeah, man. So let's take it to the next topic. I think this one's actually pretty dope, man. When you sent this article, I was like, wow, this is interesting. I'm actually going to have a conversation with my son tonight about this and kind of geek out with him a little bit. But the next topic up is not your typical reindeer. What the hell does that mean, Dr. Faraday? Share with me, my friend.
Well, eyes in the news. I always try to find a subject that maybe your patients are going to be asking you questions about. This is a news story that's been making the rounds on a lot of the popular outlets. I'm talking about reindeer eyes. So some of the popular news articles, I saw it in The Guardian and a few other places. I think they're kind of misrepresenting what the article is saying, talking about the color of reindeer eyes. They're talking about reindeer eyes changing color in the popular press, which is not exactly what's going on here. The irises of reindeer doesn't change over the course of the year. But what does change is the tapetum lucidum, which is a structure of the retina that humans don't have. We are pretty rare in mammals for not having tapetum lucidum, actually. It is a layer beneath the retina that is reflective. So say you're driving at nighttime, you see those deer eyes staring back at you, or your cat eyes are glowing. That is the tapeta that is glowing like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, basically there's a reflective layer in most mammals. Again, humans are rare for not having it.
Yeah.
That reflects light. So light comes into the retina, activates the photoreceptors, and then in these other mammals, it bounces off the tapeta and it goes back through the photoreceptors again. It gives them a chance to basically see the light twice. So it gives them better night vision.
Huh, man.
You got my
neurons firing off. I mean, how come someone out there hasn't done this with anti-reflective coating? You know, how come there's not a contact lens that's made like that? Maybe we're talking about something that's already made and it just hasn't been put out in the world yet.
Well, but, it would be nice if we could do some gene therapy and get humans some tapetum lucidum here. But I think
you're really talking next level, man. That's next level for sure. But I'm pretty sure someone's cooking it up.
Well, yeah, probably. But I think there are downsides to it. I think probably there must be an evolutionary advantage why we lost it. I think our higher resolution vision is a benefit of not having a tapeta, because if you're getting all the light images twice, probably vision's a little bit blurrier or hazier, I would imagine. So I would imagine there's a sharpness trade-off you get by having a tapetum. But most mammals have it, and reindeers, they change colors. So in the summertime, their eyes are going to be reflecting a golden color, like you'll see from your cat in the house, so that reflective golden color. But in the wintertime, their tapeta actually reflect a light blue color, which is really cool. And why do they do that? Let me tell you what, I love this article, but I almost regret bringing it up because this is some deep science in this article here.
Well, you said whatever, torpedo, whatever. You lost me in the sauce a little bit. I was like, yeah, say that three times real quick. Like, no, I don't know about that one, man. But I love the knowledge behind it and the science behind it, but I can see where this could take you down a rabbit hole. You'll see one thing and you go to the next, and then you go to the next. And before you know it, it's 5 hours knee deep in this stuff, man.
For sure. I tried to rope in my my anatomy professor from optometry school, Dr. Heather Chandler, to come in and talk to us. She's a comparative anatomy expert, just so she could take the brunt of this, but she wasn't available, unfortunately.
Oh my.
But basically, what's going on here is that reindeer actually are able, apparently, to sense visually, to sense UV light, which is helpful for them because their main food source is a lichen that is hard to see on top of the snow, and it absorbs UV light, so it'll appear black, and if you can see UV light. So long story short, basically, this interesting effect of reindeer eyes where they change, the tapetum changes color, just helps them take advantage of their UV sensitive vision to be able to see this lichen that they eat. So it's pretty interesting that reindeer can actually see in the UV spectrum.
Yeah, man. Awesome, man. You're always bringing the latest and greatest. Now, as eye care professionals, we know how to handle this conversation when patients come in. Thank you so much, my friend.
That's right. You can prescribe UV protecting sunglasses for your reindeer. A hard time finding their food, I guess.
I know that's right. All right, man. Next up, we got a topic or a segment that is your favorite. And here we go. We're going to kick it off.
It's time for Back to the Four-Opter, where we bring you the latest action in the science of refraction.
Oh, yeah, baby. Right. What do we got cooking up this week, my friend?
Loving it. I always like to talk about something new out there in the field of getting our patients to see better. This time, I want to talk about a smart contact lens that's in development. This one's from a company called Azalea, the Alma lens. So yeah. I've seen lots of different soft lenses over the past several years that try to incorporate different ways of different little bits of technology. This one is really interesting. It includes an embedded diaphragm, and it's got a liquid crystal technology, a microchip, an RF antenna, and a medical grade micro battery with a configurable light control.
All of that in a contact lens?
All of that in a soft contact lens. I know, it's crazy. And what this device, a lot of the smart contact lenses I've seen in the past are trying to do things like measure blood glucose or maybe give you a smart display right on your, projected onto your retina. This one, it's trying to take advantage, I think, of like a pinhole effect to give better vision to people with presbyopia and especially ectatic corneas like keratoconus patients, pellucid marginal degeneration patients like that. So potentially we'll get this kind of a cool technological electronic lens in the future here to help out our keratoconic patients, which I'm very excited about.
I like that. And it seems like the whole pinhole concept has been, you know, re-explored quite a bit over the last 5 years or so. I mean, everyone's going into that old school technology and trying to bring it back. It's almost like fashion, right? You know,
the
frames are in and then they go out and they come back. I mean, that's essentially what they're doing with a lot of science now, and they're changing the game. And, you know, it's funny, man. Jeff, I was talking to someone the other day, and it was actually on a podcast, and I was just saying that we are now in a time where optometry is probably the best ever with all the technology, the drugs, the innovation, how knowledgeable our patients are when they walk into the office. It doesn't get any better than where we're at right now in optometry. And as a student, man, they just have the world at their fingertips. And I hope they really realize that. And I hope they truly practice full scope optometry to help the patients that sit in front of them, my friend.
I couldn't agree more. There's some really exciting technology out there these days that optometry can really leverage it and take advantage of it. One exciting technology actually can come into play here with partners that we have here. Geographic atrophy is something I've been seeing a lot more of as patients are living longer and longer, and there are some exciting treatments out there for geographic atrophy these days. Isn't that right, Dr. Glover?
Absolutely, man. A shout out to our partners over at Iveric Bio. We're going to run a quick partnership video, and I want you guys to listen and learn, but also I want you to go check out some of the podcasts hosted by Dr. Jennifer Lyerly. She totally nerded out with a ton of great geographic atrophy specialists out there. So make sure you tune in, hit the website, but let's check out our partners here.
Sight. It awakens us to the present moment, guides us through essential daily tasks, shows us the road immediately ahead, and a future we can only hope to witness. Sight gives us hope. but retinal diseases can take our sight away, along with the hope that goes with it. At Iveric Bio, we see a world where vision is preserved. Our mission is to deliver transformational therapies for people with retinal diseases so they can live with hope in sight. The freedom to drive, the ability to work, the comfort of looking into a loved one's eyes, or the simple confidence to knowingly say, "I see." Iveric Bio. Hope in sight.
That's man, every time I hear that video and I see the video, I get blown away, man. I'm touched, right? This great opportunity to really take patient care to the next level. We were just talking about innovation and technology and new drugs. This is a drug that's changing eye care, right? It's going to help patients preserve their vision, right? We don't want patients to lose vision if they don't have to, right? Or if we can slow down, you know, any kind of vision loss. And we got new technology, new innovation, new drugs out there that's going to change the game. So again, if you have not checked out any of the podcasts that's been hosted by Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, make sure you go to Defocus Media and check it out. She has had four amazing podcasts where she sat down with some of the biggest names in eye care, and she has really touched on how to have this conversation. She's touched on the side effects. She's touched on the different studies. So make sure you tap in, because Dr. Jen, she's an opto nerd. She's a game changer. She's an impact maker, and she really asks all the tough questions. So make sure you check it out. Now, back to eye care shenanigans, baby.
That's right.
What we have up next is corneal endothelial cell therapy. What is this about, my man?
This is something I'm super, super excited about. So let's take a minute to talk about my favorite structure of the eye, the cornea.
Okay.
So we've got the endothelium back there. And of course, we've got patients with Fuchs dystrophy, these issues where they're having trouble keeping their corneas from getting edematous from the endothelial cell population not being as healthy as they get older. And, you know, as recently as, you know, 15, 20 years ago, all we had for that was really penetrating keratoplasty. That took a full thickness cornea transplant, which, as of course, as you know, is just not a fun procedure. Lots of maintenance has to be done afterward.
Yeah.
And it's if you can avoid doing a full thickness cornea transplant, you should. And of course, nowadays we have DSEC, the decimate stripping endothelial keratoplasty, which is a much easier procedure where they just take the endothelial layer and transplant it from a donor into a patient. But there are, of course, downsides to that. It's a very technically complicated procedure. It involves a one-to-one ratio of donor tissue to an eye that needs it. So one donor cornea can only be used to fix one patient's eye. So wow. DSEC is great, but it's tough to do, especially in countries that don't have a great supply of donor corneas. We're spoiled for corneas here in the US, but in other countries, it's tough to get donor tissue like this. So it would be great if there were another procedure that didn't rely so much on the donor tissue. And that's why I'm so excited about this endothelial cell therapy. So basically what they're doing here, I think it actually all started from a patient that had a failed DSEC. What happened, if I'm not mistaken, was the patient had a DSEC and it didn't take. The tissue didn't stick to her endothelium. I think due to poor compliance, you got to be positioned just right for several days after the DSEC, and she wasn't compliant. But what happened was these cells came off of the donor tissue and migrated to her cornea and began functioning well. And so people began to think, could we just inject endothelial cells into the anterior chamber, and would that be enough? And it turns out it is. So
wow.
I know, isn't this great? So that's what the new procedure is. Basically, they take some endothelial cells from a donor cornea. One cornea can produce enough donor tissue to treat 100 patients, which is tremendous improvement. Yeah. And they just inject it with some Rho kinase inhibitor into the patient's anterior chamber, have the patient lay face down for several hours as opposed to several days while those cells kind of stick onto their own endothelium. And they, for the most part, they seem to take and function. There have been some great pilot studies in El Salvador and Japan with this treatment being effective. And I'm really, really excited about this. It's revolutionizing Fuchs dystrophy and other endothelial problems like that.
Yeah. I mean, when you mention this, it just seems like it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
It does. Should have been doing this a long time ago, right? But
yeah,
I mean, that's what happens, right? You certain things take place, and by accident, you find out that this is a better treatment plan, right? I'm curious, the two areas where they did the studies, El Salvador, why those locations? Is there higher incidence? Like, because that's odd.
So Orion Biotech, who's the company that I, there's a great article in Optometry Times is where I was getting this from. Okay. I believe Orion is either based in Japan or has a lot of research in Japan. So that's why a lot of it was done in Japan. And in El Salvador, I'm not sure, but I guess they just had some inroads there, had a patient base there or doctors there. So I'm not sure why El Salvador. Maybe they have some, a lot of endothelial problems in there. I don't know. But, Japan, just because that's where the company's located. Get a little
endo crazy, baby.
That's right.
Awesome, man. Well, next up, we got SLT to the next level, baby. I know this was a long article, a lot of great data, a lot of great information. So
very long article. Yeah. Great article in the Review of Optometry. I think we talked about selective laser trabeculoplasty not too long ago. And I'm bringing it up again because it's a hot topic in optometry.
Yeah,
I'm really excited about it because as our scope of practice is increasing, this is a surgical procedure that optometrists might be finding themselves doing more and more of. So it's important to keep ourselves informed about it.
Yeah.
And also, I was really surprised to see how many patients as a first line treatment for glaucoma these days are just getting SLT, just skipping over medication therapy.
Yeah. I'm seeing more of that in my practice as well.
Yeah, that's great too, because we all know how tough compliance is with glaucoma drops. Glaucoma drops sting. Patients don't see the benefit when they take them right away, of course. So it's tough to get patients really compliant with them.
And the convenience piece, right? Everybody wants to be convenient. They don't want to have to worry about anything. They want to live on autopilot. So when you have opportunities like this, and when you have optometrists, because there's more of us that can perform this, just think about the eyes, the lives, the headache, the compliance that we shift when it's put in our hands as well. So I'm loving this, but let's break down the article a little more in detail.
Yeah, absolutely. So I encourage everybody to check it out in a Review of Optometry. They go break it down into 10 different steps or 10 different questions about SLT that's important for all of us to know. Just talks about how effective SLT is, how long it can last. So SLT, it's got varying efficacy. In some patients, up to half of patients, it can last, have a good effect for up to about 6 years. In other patients, it only can be effective for as little as 1.5 to 2 years. There we go. My computer is struggling here. I might lose you in a second here. Jeez, I'm sorry. Oh my goodness. Of course, technology. We're just talking about
Stay alive. Stay alive. Don't go, my friend.
I'm falling. My positioning. My endothelium's gonna fail. I'm just trying to keep my endothelium healthy by looking down at the floor here.
Oh man, there you go. Face down, right? Let more get to the back surface.
That's what we need.
Hey, man, that's the beauty of live streaming, right? Like, you just in the mix. I mean, at the top of the show, what happened to me? I was sitting there trying to kick off, Instagram to go live stream, and that's what happened. So it looks like we lost Dr. Fairding. I'm pretty sure he's going to tap back in here shortly. But hey, you guys, Eye Care Shenanigans. We love that you tune in and tap in with us. We've had some fantastic cases so far today, or some technology, some innovation from smart glasses to learning a little bit more about, you know, how does omega-3s play into diabetic retinopathy to a revolutionary smart contact lens. I personally think when it comes to technology, smart contact lenses are going to change the game. I know wearables like the Ray-Ban Stories or smart Meta glasses is game changing, and I love mine, by the way. But I just feel like contact lens will take it to the next level, and I can't wait to see what's truly in the pipeline down the road. So as eye care professionals, it's very important for us to always make sure that we stay abreast of the latest and greatest technology to make sure that we're serving our patients well. Everyone that's listening, make sure you tap into Defocus Media. Follow us on all platforms, you know, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, any social media platform, we're on it. But guess what, friends? My man is back, and he's going to finish up, and then we're going to let you guys go. Jeff, my man, welcome
back.
You're alive.
You can't keep me down.
How's your endothelium? Your endothelium okay?
Man, it's the tissue is falling off, but those cells are populating anyway. Man, technology, I love it. I love it.
Gotta love it, my man.
Yeah. Well, SLT, we're doing more of it these days on patients, and you and I might be doing it ourselves here. Maybe I shouldn't be doing it. I can't even keep my computer on. I'm afraid to use my laser on my patients here. But yeah. Anyway, hey, it's great to be back, Dr. Glover. I'm excited to be here, and we've got exciting stuff in store for you guys next year too. Let me tell you what.
I know that's right, man. Yeah, everyone, tune in next year, 2024. We got an incredible partnership that we're going to line up. We're not even going to tell you who it is, but be ready because it's going to be exciting. We're going to have a lot of new topics. It's a very familiar platform that you may know of, but we're going to keep it under wraps. So again, stay tuned. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover, and my guy, Dr. Jeffrey Faradink. We look forward to seeing you guys. Tune in. Have a fantastic holiday. And most importantly, please and please stay healthy, stay positive, stay blessed, and make sure you celebrate with your family. Happy holidays, everyone. We'll see you top of the year. Peace.
Thank you for listening to Eye Care Shenanigans. Big thanks from Drs. Daryl Glover, Jeff Faradink, and the whole team here at Defocus Media. Follow us on social media where our handle is Defocus Media on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Remember, even if you're not easy on the eyes, you can always take care of your vision.